Amen. It's good to see everybody out for the home group meeting tonight. And it's just a joy and an honor to go ahead and share some thoughts that the Lord has given me with this wonderful series of teaching on wilderness truths from modern times. Before I get going, this will be number 41. And every time I put this together, I see the number, and 41 means we have been here 41 months. And it's just amazing the way the Lord does this. But before I get going, I just want to go ahead and answer back to some emails that I saw. And I am sorry, I did not warn everybody that last month there would be no home group meeting teaching on the internet. And so I heard you. Thank you very much for your comments. And so we'll go ahead and have one this month. But maybe next month, we may be just having prayer. That's something that the Lord has kind of worked in my spirit a little bit, and that is for 2017 to increase prayer in our meetings and in my life personally. And so anyway, so, you know, maybe next month there will be no teaching and we'll be having a prayer meeting, good old-fashioned prayer meeting. Amen. Amen. But this month we will go ahead and we will look at Wilderness Truths from Modern Times, number 41, and it would be Blessings Belong to Us. Blessings Belong to Us. Before I get going, I'd just like to look at 3 points that we looked at 2 months ago. The first one is the only way to really know what is going on is for the Lord to tell us. As Christians, we think we know what's going on, but in reality, we don't know. And oftentimes, we get into trouble, we get over into presumption, because the only way for us to really know what's going on is for the Lord to tell us. And if the Lord does not tell us, if He does not tell us what's going on, then oftentimes we are guessing, we are presuming, and a lot of times we can kind of get into trouble. But when the Lord tells us what's going on, then we will know. And when we know, it would be impossible to fail. Amen? When God tells us what's going on, well, I won't say it's impossible to fail. But, you know, when we know what's going on, then the chances of us failing is a lot less, because God told us what's going on and we are moving, and then we can just go forward from there. Very, very important point. Point two is the complexity of God and life transcends our simple minds. Man is a simple mind, and we try to understand. And even tonight when we were taking prayer, the young 16-year-old boy that was killed at the school bus, we don't understand in the complexity of God, and we don't understand really what's going on in life. And that's why God has to tell us what's going on oftentimes. But God is sovereign, He's God, and we are not. And there's just so much that in the complexity of God and life, and so we don't need to be guessing out there. We just need to have our heart focused on God, and He'll be able to tell us what's going on. Amen. And the last point is a very, very good point, and there is no deceiving God. And we've said that many, many times, and that is something that is critical in the Christian life, especially today in 2017, that, you know, we oftentimes are defeated in areas in our life, and oftentimes that is not because of God's fault, that is our fault. Because in God there is no defeat. There is no defeat in God. If you're looking for defeat, you're going to have to go somewhere outside of God, because God only knows victory. And there's no defeat in God. And this is something that should be a mantra in our life. It should be, you know, it should be a maxim in our life, that, you know, we just say, God, there is no defeat, and I'm going to move in God, and there will be no defeat in us as we move in that. Amen?
Amen.
So, Wilderness Truths from Modern Times. Blessings belong to us. Blessings belong to us. Amen? The verse there, Exodus 33, 29, and we know, 32, 29, Exodus 32, 29, and the children of Israel are still in Sinai. They're still in Sinai, and they're still in the wilderness, and they're still in Sinai. And here in verse 29, where Moses has said, consecrate yourselves today. And that's very, very important. If you've got a Bible, you want to underline that. Consecrate yourself today to the Lord. Every man upon his son and upon his brother. And it's not just to consecrate yourself, but there's a reason why God wants you to consecrate yourself today. That He may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Unless we consecrate ourselves, unless we give ourselves to the Lord, and that's what that word there, consecrate, means, to give yourself. Unless we give ourselves to the Lord every day, God will not be able to bestow the blessings in our life. The blessings that He want to give them. Not the blessings that we think we get or whatever, but the blessings that God, has for us. So, the condition for receiving blessings from God every day is for us to consecrate ourselves to Him every day. God is attempting to release many blessings in His people. Everybody there should say, Amen. But quite often these blessings are missed. A believer may bog down in the means of which God uses rather than focus upon God's intentions. Wow. Because I'm here to tell you that God's means in providing blessings for us can be very hurtful, it can be very painful, it can be very confusing, it can be very, you just don't understand what's going on. But through it all, God is trying to give us these things that He has for us. And we know there's no defeat in God. And so, as long as we do not focus on the method, but on the purpose, we will be all right. Amen? Oftentimes, the devil will get blamed for things that God is actually doing. God will do things and bring things into our life that will really kill us. But that is God's plan. My teacher's teacher, a fellow by the name of John Wright Follett, said this, and I'm learning this the longer I go in God, is John Wright Follett said that God has taken me to heaven through hell. God has taken me to heaven through hell. And that's not literally through hell, but the very difficult things in his life, God is taking him to heaven. Amen? And if not, if we focus on the, if we focus on the means and stuff like that, then we will miss the work of God in our life. We will miss the work of God in our life. So I said that to set up. In such the case, the treasures are ignored while the methods fill the believer's vision. Let me say that again. If we focus on, if we focus on the pains and the hardships in our life, in such cases, the treasures that God has for us are ignored while the methods fill the believer's vision. The Apostle Paul learned to focus upon the purposes of God. Very important. Apostle Paul learned to focus upon the purposes of God. Others with him focused on the hardships and therefore left the work of God. And we can see that. Alexander the coppersmith. And Paul even said, all in Galatia has forsaken me. All in Galatia. Everybody in the church in Galatia has forsook him because they focused it on the hardships. They focused it on all of difficult things in their life and they forsook him. Leaving the work of God, they also forsook the purpose of God. When we focus on the hardships, when we focus on the difficult things that come into our life, when we focus in areas that we don't understand and we're kind of confused about, then we will go ahead and we will leave that work that God is doing in our life. And when we leave, I don't want any of that. No. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna go through that. I'm not willing to endure, this loss. I don't want to do that. But when we focus on the hardships and turn our backs on that, on the work that God, then we're also turning our back on the purpose that God has brought into our life. And God will bring things into our life to refine our character. That's one of the greatest things that God does in our life, is He's working on our character. Because His grand goal is to conform us into the character and the image of Jesus Christ. And I will tell you, that is a very difficult area in my life. I had character issues. I have known many people with character issues. Everyone I know has character issues. I have character, And God has to bring some difficult things into our lives to kind of grind out some of those rough areas and work, you know, in our lives. But if we focus on that grinding and all of the hard work, as the Bible says, as sparks fly upward, if we focus on that, then we will turn our back on the work that God is doing in our life. In doing so, we will forsake the purposes. We must learn to focus on the purposes of God in our life.
Amen.
Not on the hardships. We must focus on the purposes of God. If not, we will miss the work that God is doing in our life. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are the workmanship of God. It is not a ministry. It is not a church, building, or whatever. We are God's good work. We are His workmanship. Amen?
Amen.
When God brings us into the wilderness, we must forsake the hardships. Now, the children of Israel, they had all kinds of hardships, but they never forsook the hardships. They couldn't see the promised land that laid out before them, even though God told them, I'm going to lead you into the promised land. But they always focused on the hardships, and they always thought about going back to the melons, the wonderful melons and the leeks. And did we not have the flesh pots? A flesh pot is human meat in a pot that they would eat. And so when they didn't have, before God gave them manna, they were always talking about the leeks and the melons and the flesh pots. They were always focusing on their empty bellies and no water, and they never really focused on the purposes that God was doing in their lives. Amen?
Amen.
They are, we are the workmanship of God. If we see only the hardships which we are experiencing, then we will never see the possessions that God has for us. If we only look at those difficult areas in our life, then we'll never ever be able to see the treasures that God has for us. Amen. Like the children of Israel, you may get so bogged down with the wilderness conditions that you will never see the promised land. We must always, always keep looking at the purposes of God. Remember, God is not trying to kill us, but He is trying to make us like His dear Son. One thing, when I was in Turkey, I had a chance briefly to speak to some elders there, and I told them, and I quoted Ephesians 2:10, and of course they are going through hell because life in Turkey is very, very difficult. I mean, there's less than 6,500 Christians in a country of 80 million. And so you talk about underground church, they have an underground church. And so, you know, I told them, I said, God is not trying to kill us, but He's trying to conform us, and He will use everything in our life. He will use everything in our life to make that happen, to conform us into His image. Amen?
Amen.
His goal is to conform us into His image of His dear Son. Forget about the conditions as much as you can and allow God to work within you. Forget about the conditions and allow God to work within you. The more God can do in us, the more He will be able to do for us. Wow, now that was worth coming. The more God can do in us,
yes,
in us, the more He can do for us. Unless God can work in our life, then He'll never be able to do anything for us. Again, Exodus 32:29. Consecrate yourself today so that I may bless you. Well, unless we allow God to work in us, God will never, ever be able to bless us. Unless God can work on us and in us, He will not be able to do anything for us. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Amen? God is attempting to make us a fruitful believer. The purpose of God is to fill our life with victory at all times. The purpose of God is to fill our life with victory at all times. Lena N. Morris, who lived 100 years ago, caught this vision and wrote to him, Victory All the Time. Listen to these words. Victory, victory, blessed blood-bought victory. Victory, victory, victory all the time. As Jehovah liveth, strength divine, he giveth unto those who know him victory all the time. Victory in God is only for those people that know him. That's like salvation is not for everybody. Salvation is not for everybody. God's intention for salvation is for everybody, but not everybody will be saved, because the Bible says that hell expands its border daily. Even though the intention for salvation is there, only those that have accepted Jesus Christ is, you know, salvation is just for them. Same here with this song here. Victory in God is only for those that know God. Only those that have consecrated themselves. Only those that is able to work, that God is able to work in their life and build them and mold them and shape them and work in their life. Only those people. Victory, victory all the time. No defeat in God, but victory is only comes by allowing God to work in our lives. Not even by God's intentions for us. God has many intentions for us. Many, many intentions. If we really knew all the things that God has for us, I mean, wow. I don't know what God had for me, so he has to tell me. And the only way he can tell me is when I have a, you know, this relationship with him, that he's able to share his heart with me.
Amen.
But it's very, very critical that we have this understanding that, you know, we must allow God to work in our lives, and we must kind of ignore all of the things and the hardships in there so that we can come into God's purposes. Another lady that gifted in song was Deborah. She too saw and experienced God's victory. She was the judge of Israel in the days before the king of Israel. After her victory against the oppressive king of Canaan, Jabin by name, she sang the lead part in a duet with Barak, her general. Some of her words are recorded in the Judges. In Judges 5 and 5 says, "The mountains melted from before the Lord, even in that Sinai from before the Lord, God of Israel." Wow. The mountains melted. Now, it's interesting to know the word mountains usually in the Bible always refers to problems. It always refers to problems. It's usually not hills and, the trees and the bushes, unless it clarifies that. But when it talks about mountains, it talks about mountains being cast into the sea. That's not talking about hills when Jesus was talking about casting mountains into the sea. Now, that word mountain there is problems. Problems will be cast into the sea. Also, the word mountain often is used as governments. Oftentimes when you see the word mountains in the Bible, it's referring to governments. And so the mountains or the problems and all of those things were melted before the Lord. Even to Mount Sinai, from this before God, in God of Israel. Amen. Even as the difficulties in the wilderness melted for Joshua and Caleb, so God melted them for Deborah. And if God melted them for Joshua and Caleb and Deborah, that he will do that for us. But that only happens when we have that relationship with the Lord and we understand his purposes in our life. God has victory for us, but they come with difficulties, hardships, inward soul searching, godly reflection, allowing God to judge and deal in our life. Wow. I want the victory. You got the victory, buddy. I got the victory. Well, true victory in God only comes after God is able to work in our life. Soul searching, reflecting on ourselves, God enduring, God's dealing and judgments. That is what brings the victory in our life. It's not a song. It's not standing and, you know, doing all those religious things. They don't bring victory. All they do is build this religiosity in us, and we get built on, you know, on something that is not solid. But when God is able to bring us through a hardship, when God is able to lower us and bring us down and strengthen us, and so that we can stand up, then we will be in a great place of victory. So, no dealing and judgments in God, guess what? No victory. The condition for victory in God is to endure God's dealing and judgments in our life. Not too many Christians want that type of victory. Not too many Christians want the victory that Joshua and Caleb endured, and Deborah and all the other people in the Bible. Most Christians, you know, would just be happy with, you know, religious services and stuff like that. Amen. Leave that alone. For God, there is no insurmountable mountain. Boy, I like that. Psalms 97:5 says, "The hills melted, like was all the presence of the Lord at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth." For God, there is no insurmountable problems. There's no hardships. There's nothing in God. Amen?
Amen.
Any difficulties will melt before the Lord. A believer may so focus upon difficulties that they are enlarged and they are magnified. This is expressed in the cliche, "Some people make mountains out of molehills." I don't know about you, but I've done that in my life, in little small areas, and I focus on them, and I focus on them, and they get bigger, and they get bigger, and they get bigger. And the next thing I know, I think this is something that's insurmountable. But it's not. Because in God, there is no insurmountable problems, there's no insurmountable hardships, there is nothing insurmountable in God. Most of the older generations in the wilderness was like this. But there are yet the Joshua and Caleb today who so walked with God that they made molehills out of mountains. They took the situations and stuff, and they reversed that. They saw, you know, the 10 spies went out, you know, they saw those giants, and they were, "Oh no, we can't take the promised land," even though the grapes they had to carry on sticks, and, you know, but the 10 spies says, "Oh no, we can't take the land." But Joshua and Caleb said, "We can take the land. We're going to take these mountains and turn them into molehills." Amen? And they did. Amen. No matter the problem, we must face it in God. Sink or swim, God knows about it and will work in and will work it into our good and is able to work through us. Let me read that again. Amen? No matter the problem, we must face it in God. Sink or swim, God knows all about it, and He will work it for our good as He is able to work in us. Problems in our life, unless we allow God to work in us, then He will not be able to work all these things for good. Romans 8:28. We think, well, Romans 8:28, God's working in us. Well, the only reason He can work, you know, all of these things for good is because He's able to work in our life and change our perspective, change our heart condition, change the way we see things. And unless He can do that, if He can't do that, if God cannot work in our life and change our focus and change our perspective, then He'll never be able to work all things together for good. It's not that the things have changed. You know what changes? We change.
Amen.
We change. And our focus changed. And then it's not an issue. I know a lot of times in my life, things that I think are very, very important, and I just can't believe, man, this is going to happen, that God will change my focus and change my heart, and then suddenly it's gone. Suddenly it's not a problem anymore. And, I mean, you know, it never was a problem. It was just something that I focused on and something that I thought was important, but it wasn't. And it's just amazing how God can do that. Nothing can stand against the greatness of God. Hear the voice of the prophet Nahum coming up to us over 25 centuries. This is Nahum 1, 5 through 6. The mountains quake at him. Remember, mountains again are not hills and valleys, but troubles here. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwells within. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the furnaces of his anger? His fiery is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Wow. We must come to more than just believe this. We must come to stake our life on this truth. Wow. We must come to just believe that there's no defeat in God. We must come to believe that. More than believe that, we must come to the point that we stake our lives on the truth. We must come to the point that we come to believe that unless God can work in our life, He will never ever be able to change our perspective and change our heart condition. Because it is the work that God does in our life is what changes our perspective, changes our heart, changes our focus, that we are more than new conquerors in Christ Jesus. This is a very, very critical point in most Christians' life that they never come to. And that's because they're built on religion and denomination and all of these things. And they never really come down and allow God to work in their life. But we must come to a point to where more than we just believe this, we must come to a point where we would stake our life on it. Fish or cut bait. Hell or high water. And if you walk with the Lord long enough, He will bring you into some very dire straits, and He will bring you into some areas where you will have to come to that point to where you believe it and you will stake your life on it. Esther did, "If I perish, I perish." You know, they ask me often, you know, what is a good definition of faith? Well, a good definition of faith is, if I perish, I perish. That's faith. And Esther was at a point, she had so much faith in God and believed God that she said, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to believe God. Amen? Imagine the power of such immense being as our ally. And that's God. Wow. How can we lose? It's impossible. Just the thought ought to double us over with laughter. There is no power that can conquer, and there is no power that can compare to God's power. No power, nothing exists apart from God. He created all. No power, no circumstance, no situation can operate apart from and independent of God. The very existence of Satan cannot be without God. God could even now snuff out his existence and his activities. But he has a plan for Satan, and he has an end for Satan. He has a plan and a purpose, and that will be ended in the book of Revelation. We can read that. All things have come out from God, and all things will return back from God. Even the Bible in the Old Testament says that all souls belong to God. Can you imagine that? All souls. That's saved souls and not saved souls. All souls, when it says all souls belong to God. All things come out from God, and all things will return back from God, or to God. He is our all in all and over all. Amen. Can we say, like Esther, if I perish, I perish, or Job, though God slay me, yet I will trust him? Wow. I remember a really good friend of mine named Bill Pepper, and he's probably in his mid-80s. He was a contemporary of my Bible teacher, Charles Hahn. And he would go to China a lot when he was a little younger. And he would go to the underground church. He would leave for church. It would take about 4 hours to get to church because he was always trailed by the secret police in China, so he would go here for a while, and then he would go over here for a while, and then he would go here for a while, and then they would get to a hotel, and they would always get the first floor, and they would take the beds and put the mattresses up to the windows and the doors, and then they would have the service. And always on the first floor, because if they got to escape, then they wouldn't have to jump very far. And one of the pastors was captured, by the police. And so they took him a prisoner, and Bill Pepper knew this guy. So anyways, the police said, unless you renounce Jesus Christ, I will kill your wife and your family. Well, not kill you, but I will kill your wife and I will kill your family in front of you. And so the pastor looked at the police and he looked at his family, his wife and his two children, and his reply was, "I will see you in the morning. I will see you in the morning." And what he was talking about, "I will see you after I die." Now that is someone like Esther, "If I perish, I perish." That man had an established heart. He believed without a shadow of a doubt. It wasn't a religious belief, it was a belief of staking his life and his family's life on it. And he would not renounce God, and the Chinese police killed his wife and his two kids. But his response to that was, "I will see you in the morning." He had an established heart, and he, you know, wow. I don't know what I would do in that situation, but in his heart, he made the right decision. Wow. But, you know, I say that tonight so that we can think about, you know, what would we say in that situation? Wow. You may have some party thoughts. That we can have our own view of life. When we meet horrible situations, we see everything breaking apart. Our view of life is warped. We see things outside of God and beyond His control. So we attempt to fix things and get the pieces together again for God, so that once again we will be in control again. And that is the usual experience of most Christians. We see these horrible things in these situations, and we try to fix them. We try to fix them for God so that we, and He, I should say, can also be in control. Whom are we trying to fool? We must never look at the pieces that are falling apart. Let me say that again. We must never look at the pieces falling apart, but allow God to speak to us and show us His purpose in the pieces falling apart. Now this is deep. This is deep. We must never look at the pieces, everything falling apart and everything's horrible and warped and, you know, but we need to allow God to speak to us, to show us His purpose in that situation. Don't kid yourself. God is in control always, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what's going on. We've got a different church, and let's pray for our country. And yeah, you know, we need to do that, and we need to pray for this situation. We need to pray, yeah, you know, and that's okay. But don't kid yourself. God is in control. He has a plan and a purpose for each and every person that He made. Each and every person that was born upon the earth, God has a plan and a purpose for them. And whether they come into that plan or purpose or not, does not depend upon God. It depends on that person. If they will allow the Holy Spirit to draw them so that they can be saved, then God will be able to work that plan and purpose to an end. But as that is happening to an end, He will bring some very difficult things into our life. Amen? Allow God to reveal His light to us instead of badly botching it, meaning that our own, making our own misunderstandings. Our mind is not built for such a task as understanding life. But the revelation is in God. There we can discover it. What a powerful thought. Our mind is not built for such a task of trying to understand life. I don't know how many books and how many people are trying to, what is the meaning of life, and trying to understand life, and, you know, that is just a fruitless exercise, you know, because our mind is not built to do that. But the revelation in God is there where we can find it. If we want to find out why babies die, or why the bad things happen to Christians, and all of that good stuff, you know, we don't, you know, our mind isn't able to understand that. But the revelation is in God. The understanding of why all those bad things happen or whatever, All of the revelation is in God. And only in there, in the revelation in God that He will give us, we can discover that. Amen?
Amen.
The answer to life in our lives is only found in God. The answers to life and our individual life is only found in God. Any other attempt to understand will end in sorrow and despair. Any attempt to try to understand life and, you know, why things happen and, you know, all those philosophical questions outside of the revelation of God will always end in confusion and despair, and it's only found in God. Amen?
Amen.
So we must allow God to work in our life and bring us into some very difficult areas. And as He's doing that He's able to give us that revelation. He's able to give us those things that we need to understand what He wants for our life and what He's doing. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we just thank You and we praise You for Your love, Father. Lord, we thank You for this teaching, Father, Lord God. I would ask that You would just use this, Father, Lord, to lay this word at heart as they listen over the internet to all the readers, Father, Lord, and the listeners, Father, Lord God. And I just love You and I just thank You, Father, Lord God. I love You and thank You, Father, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we love You and we thank You for Your words tonight, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Just a quick note. Yes, I do put the outline on my blog. And so if you go to my website and you go to the blog, you will find Wilderness Truth for Modern Times, number 41, and for home group meeting on the 28th of March. And so this is the notes there. And so I do that also. Okay. God bless. And everyone have a nice evening. Bye.